Breton Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from ITFA 2014, joined by filmmaker Joanna Hamilton, who is presenting the film 1971 here at the festival. So thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Could you tell our listeners what the film is about?
It's about a little-known incident that happened in 1971. A group of eight activists calling themselves the Citizens Commission to investigate the FBI broke into a tiny satellite FBI office just outside Philadelphia and stole all the documents and then started selectively sending them to the newspapers. The files that they ended up sending to the Washington Post, which was the first newspaper to publish the contents of the files, revealed the existence of a widespread domestic surveillance operation that was operated by the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover. And it's a slow burn story, but the tail end and the sort of coda really is both a great political and journalistic story. Eventually, they determine that, in fact, there's a much larger... This spying operation, in fact, goes under the name COINTELPRO, which was a massive spying operation that had existed since 1956. And the tail end of the film really is the congressional hearings that were convened partially as a result of the documents that were leaked back in 71 that eventually lead to some restrictions on the FBI's investigative powers.
This documentary, some of the information revealed, it's the first time that people actually know about it. So how did you come across, you know, all this stuff? It's a lot of stuff that's coming out for the first time ever.
Yeah, the burglars had never been found. I mean, that was the one thing I just didn't mention right now. It's one of the largest FBI investigations ever, but the burglars were never found, never caught. And so I had the great good fortune to be friends with the journalist at the Washington Post to whom they sent the files back in the day, Betty Metzger. She was writing a book, and she and I have had a personal friendship for over a decade. And so she shared the outlines of the story with me, and I thought it sounded fantastic. I mean, it's just a period in history that I personally have been fascinated with since I was a teenager. And here they were about to come out. It was going to be a scoop. They were going to be revealing themselves for the first time. So I said to her, you know, please let me know when you're ready to make the film. And then there came a point where she did introduce them to me. So that's how I came to the sources. But they were anonymous to Betty for over 20 years. And then about 15, 20 years ago, two of them revealed themselves to her almost accidentally. There's a husband and wife who are part of the Citizens Commission. Yeah. It just so turned out that she had known them many years before joining the Post. She was a reporter in Philadelphia, and so she had known them, and so 20 years down the line she just went to have dinner with them, and they said, by the way, you know, when about 20 years ago when we did this, we had some files, we sent them to you. And she fell off her chair. She just couldn't believe it, and then ever since then really wanted to write the book. And so then I got lucky in the sense that she was nearing the end of her research, and then she started to write the book. And so she and I were really in this unusual collaboration. The film and the book were being, you know, made and written simultaneously, and then we tried to get them to release almost simultaneously.
To finally have their identities revealed and have a camera pointed at them, you know, how did they react to it? Were they more than willing to do it, or were they a little, you know, like, what are we doing here, you know?
You know, because two of them had revealed themselves a lot earlier to Betty, they were quite comfortable with the fact that their identities would someday be revealed. So they'd had some time to get used to that. Obviously, as you say, film is quite it's a different medium. It's a different experience. But we had an initial meeting, you know, now 4.5 years ago. And it was really at that meeting that, you know, as with every documentary filmmaker, with journalist, you establish a relationship and you establish trust. And, you know, you sort of do your best. But one of them certainly did require a little persuasion, Bob, who's in the film. And he sort of is perhaps now considers himself to be more conservative in his old age. He doesn't regret what he did back then, but he's definitely more conservative, and he required the most persuasion to go on camera.
But this was a very intense time, you know, in American history. But also, what I find about the story is that it's terribly recent. You know, there have been examples, especially now, of people, you know, kind of rebelling against authority and things like that. So there's an inspiring element in the documentary, too. Was that an aspect that kind of interested you in developing the story?
Very much so. Very much so. I mean, to be honest, it was totally serendipitous that the Edward Snowden revelations happened as we were finishing editing the film, quite literally. So that did, of course, make it feel a lot more current. I knew that there was a film about Snowden that was being made because the woman to whom he went, Laura Poitras, is a co-executive producer of mine, and so she and I have been friends for a long time. So I didn't feel that I needed to go back and remake the film. I obviously wanted to concentrate very, very closely on the film at hand and the people whose story, you know, I was telling for the first time. So, but you're absolutely right. There was definitely, at this point in time, we had documentary evidence from Snowden. And I see the parallels in that way. Back in the day, the Citizens Commission to Investigate the Eye provided documentary evidence of the FBI's dirty tricks. So it was, I mean, again, while we might have suspected that stuff was going on, certainly since September 11th, where the regulations have been rolled back and things have definitely become, I think there was a general awareness that there was, you know, perhaps, you know, wider global surveillance. We didn't have proof, and then we did.
But of course, this is a very entertaining documentary too. It not only is the rhythm very gripping and thrilling, and you know, you're really, you know, it's almost as if you're living it in the moment. You make use of a lot of reenactments too. So tell us about this sort of approach that you decided to employ.
Yeah, I know reenactments can be a little controversial. They're not every documentary or film lover's cup of tea. But I felt that because one of the obstacles I faced was a lot of people said to me, especially trying to get the film funded, a lot of people said to me, you know, we know about the history of COINTELPRO, which was the spying program, because there had been this congressional investigation. So many of the stories, the nefarious activities, the dirty tricks were known. How is this new and why should we care? And so I felt, you know, obviously I felt very strongly that this was an incredible, as you said, an incredibly inspirational story, these, you know, sort of quintessential act of a few ordinary citizens who had done this quite remarkable thing. Had a moment of crime, which was really a last resort for them. They felt really desperate that the FBI wasn't going to be held accountable otherwise. To have a group of 70-year-olds on camera just talking about what they'd done perhaps had limited appeal. You know, I thought it was maybe a short film. And so I really wanted to be able to tell the full arc of the story. You know, in film, you always try and connect with people. I wanted people to put themselves in their shoes, to be there at the moment, to know what it was like. And, you know, there were some almost comical elements to it. You know, it's very 70s. It's pre-digital. You know, they're literally breaking in, picking locks and breaking in. There are crowbars, you know, suitcases, filing cabinets. I went with the recreations, and I went to a woman by the name of Maureen Ryan, who had produced the recreations for Man on Wire, which won the Academy Award a few years back. And so she really brings a depth of experience in just in terms of producing and a team and the knowledge. And she and I worked together, and hopefully we've succeeded. But it was great fun, I have to say. It was both exhilarating and terrifying, but we had a full-up mini feature film set for 4 days.
Oh, really? Well, I really appreciated the fact that you kind of go into particulars as well at the break-in, and, you know, kind of reminded me of Reefy Fee, you know, a film like that. So, and also, you know, when you're working with someone who worked on Man on Wire, that's one of the prime examples of use of reenactments in documentary. But as well as that, I'd also like to talk about, you briefly mentioned it there, this film also manages to capture the atmosphere of the times through music, you know, through color. You know, obviously that was very important to you, to capture the essence of its time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah, so we had the original interviews, a lot of archival footage. And then with the recreations, definitely we did go with, you know, you hope, you know, it's at times it can definitely be a little comical. You know, you're using wigs and you're using, you know, oversized glasses, but you hope to at least approximate it. And we definitely, the sort of color tone that we went for was a little more, you know, muted. There's a lot of brown, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it was definitely important.
It looks fantastic, sounds fantastic. It's a really inspiring story, and it's very entertaining. It's fun to watch. So thanks very much. Thank you very much for taking the time off and talking with us about it.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.